the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Tromp, and I'm your host, Katie Tromp. Well, before we get started, just wanted to remind y'all that tomorrow I'm dropping my new music video for my single, The Art of the Bitch. It's directed by my homie Jose Nahar of Nahar Media. He's directed like probably my last like 15 music videos, by the way. So yeah, that's my homie. And so if you're ever wondering or if you ever think to yourself, damn, those music videos are good, he's part of the reason why. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm fully involved with my music videos from start to finish. They are completely my idea, but the homie Jose, he makes me look good. You would be shocked at some of the things that he makes me look like. And I do have a music video called Acting Like a Bitch. And I at the end, I hit a home run. And we'll just say when we were filming that, I did not even come close to hitting a home run. But he made me look good. So that's what I'm saying. The homie Jose, he makes me look good. And he makes me look good in this one, too. And then also the tracks produced by the homie Ovi on the beat, same guy who produced the Jack Tatum track at the that you hear with the intro of my podcast here. So shout out to both Jose and Ovi. They are prominently they're two people I continue to work with, and they've been involved on many of my projects, and I really appreciate what they've done for me. So definitely shout out to both of them. Yeah, look out for the new music video. It's going to be a bloody fucking mess. That's for damn sure. You'll be able to find it on my website, katietrop.net, or also my YouTube channel, Katie Tromp. All right, so let's just go ahead and start it off with the college basketball this weekend. We've got the Final Four on Saturday, and then we've got the national championship on Monday. And so I'll go ahead and make my predictions now, and we'll just talk about what I expect to see from both of these games, starting with probably one of the most anticipated games in this entire tournament is Duke versus North Carolina. It's actually pretty crazy to think that these two have never faced off against each other in the tournament, but this is the first time. And it's Coach K's last season, so how crazy is that, that this is the matchup we're getting? It would have been nice to see him in the championship game, but hey, I think the Final Four is just as good. You know, I've said it before, you know, North Carolina has not been the typical team that they normally are in basketball. They usually dominate, but this year they had a very down season. And they really backed their way into the tournament. And once they hit the tournament, though, they've been on fire, and they've absolutely dominated. It's just like they turned on the switch. And they're just killing it. But Duke, on the other hand, is the exact opposite. They've been dominant all year. They've been one of the best teams in college basketball. It's not shocking at all that they're here in the Final Four. And also that you could tell that they want to send Coach K out on the right note. Which honestly, it would be cool to see him go out that way. It's always cool, regardless of whether you're a fan of the team or not. It is always cool to see somebody who's dedicated their entire life to the sport, and they're a legend, and it really is cool to see them go out in that manner. So while I'm not a Duke fan in any way, shape, or form, I would have no issues with seeing Coach K in his career winning a national championship. But with that being said, this is going to be a great matchup. I think this is going to come down to whoever has the ball last. Probably, I wouldn't be shocked if it ends up going into overtime, because these two teams know each other well. This is one of the greatest rivalries of all time, not in just college basketball, but of all time. When you watch a Duke versus North Carolina game, it's actually kind of rare when it's a blowout. It's usually back and forth, and when one is not having a good season, but the other is, kind of like how North Carolina ruined Coach K's last home game about a month ago. They came in and nobody thought they were going to win. You know, tickets were out the roof, you know. Every celebrity in the world's out there. And Duke ended up losing. North Carolina came in and just absolutely stomped them. I don't think that's going to happen this time around. But I do think it's going to be a great game. And it's going to be a great way to end Coach K's, whether he wins or loses this game. I think it's one of the best ways for him to end his career by going into the tournament and ending it against North Carolina. But I am taking Duke in this one. I think, like I said, North Carolina isn't really that great of a team. While they're playing great in the tournament, I kind of feel like this is going to be where they hit their wall. I didn't really see them winning a national championship. So, and especially out of all four teams left, I think they are the weakest. So I'm definitely going to go Duke. I think they're playing hard for Coach K. I think that's what they want to do is just send him out on top. They just have that extra little edge, and they are a really good team. I mean, their shooting is phenomenal. And I kind of feel like it's if North Carolina lets things get away from them, then Duke is really going to blow up. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be a close game, probably come down to a last-second shot, and I think Duke's going to go on to the national championship. Then the second matchup is Villanova versus Kansas. I think this is going to be a great matchup as well because these are two dominant college basketball powerhouses. Villanova has been one of the best college basketball teams for about the last decade. And Kansas historically is just a spectacular team. And I know this because I'm a Texas Longhorns fan. So we're always playing Kansas. Honestly, when the Longhorns just keep it close with Kansas, I'm happy about that. So when they actually get a win against Kansas, when Kansas is good, I'm happy to see that. But so both these teams are really good. I think where the edge in the matchup is going to be with Villanova. One of their main guys, he got injured in the last game, and he's not going to be playing this game. And I think that's basically where the edge in the matchup is going to come from because he's also a big guy. The thing about Kansas is they have great defense, and they're also just great in the paint. They do have good shooters as well, but just they're a really scrappy team. I kind of see them taking advantage of that injury. And I kind of have a feeling that Kansas is going to eke out this one. I think this will be a close one as well. And I actually would have probably picked Villanova if they didn't have the injury because I think they are overall the better team. I honestly wouldn't be shocked to see Villanova win a national championship just because I think they are that good, especially with their shooters. They've got some great shooters. And Jay Wright's just an excellent coach. He has a really good style of coaching, and it just really works. But I think Kansas is going to ultimately get the win in this one. I think it'll be a close matchup as well, like I do Duke versus North Carolina, but I think Kansas will walk away with the win. So that makes my national championship matchup Duke versus Kansas. Like I said, I at this point, it's hard for me to pick against Duke. It just kind of feels like that's where this season's going to end up. I was getting my bracket ready and picking teams who I thought were going to win the national championship, Duke was not even one of those teams. Now, like I said, they're a good team. I have respect for them, but I didn't think they were going to make it this far. I kind of had a feeling they were going to get upset maybe in like the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, but they didn't. Here they are. And it just kind of feels like this is how the season's going to end. So I do have Duke beating out Kansas for the national championship. And I have Coach K walking off into the sunset the best way you can, going off into retirement, and him just adding yet another accomplishment to his already stellar resume. I got Duke as my national champion. So we'll see what happens this weekend. I'm expecting some good games regardless. And then in just some other college basketball news, Shaheen Holloway, he was the coach of St. Peter's, and now it is past tense. He got the Seton Hall job this week, and that's what I love about college basketball and the tournament is if you are this up and comer like coach like Shaheen Holloway is, and you happen to take your team to another level, you know, kind of like Shaka Smart did years ago. And you're going to get that recognition that you finally deserve that recognition. And that's how I feel about Shaheen Holloway. It's not like he's been coaching for a long time. Obviously, he hasn't. But it's really cool that he was able to take his team to the tournament. They believed in themselves. They believed in the system that they were in. They believed in their coach. And they were able to get as far as they were. And it's cool to see that that helped elevate their coach to another level. And now he's going to go coach Seton Hall. And who knows, this could be just the next stepping stone for Holloway. Or maybe he could become the next great coach of Seton Hall. Who the hell knows? But I thought that was really cool to see. Like I said, I really enjoyed I had no idea. Obviously, I knew who he was because if you don't know, he in the McDonald's high school, the high school tournament that they have, Shaheen Holloway actually won the MVP that year. And by the way, Kobe Bryant was in that on that same league that year. So that really says a lot about what a player he was. Now, his career didn't end up going the route of Kobe, obviously. But it, like I said, it's really cool to see that, you know, when he would do interviews, I really liked how even keeled he was because, you know, a lot of people get emotional. And I think that's one of the reasons why St. Peter's really bought into what he was selling this year. And so good on Seton Hall. And good luck to Shaheen Holloway, because I really like what I saw from him. And I think it's really awesome that his hard work paid off and he was able to elevate his career to the next level. So good luck to Shaheen Holloway. All right. And so we had some NFL news this week. First of all, Hard Knocks was announced. Now, Hard Knocks is just an okay. I don't usually watch it every season. Of course, I watched last year because it was the Cowboys. But I don't really care for Hard Knocks for some reason, which is weird because I really do love those kind. I love documentaries and stuff on sports and behind sports. But for some reason, Hard Knocks has just never really done it for me. And I can guarantee this year I will not be watching because the team they will be following around this year is the Detroit Lions. So, yeah, that should be. I mean, I'm sure Dan Campbell, the coach, is going to give us some good sound bites because that's what he does best. But other than that, I'm not looking forward to that, and I probably won't watch that. And honestly, I don't think a lot of people will be watching that one either because it's the Lions. So, woo-hoo. And then in more Washington Commanders news, usually with Washington, when I'm discussing them, it's actually not good news with them. And this news is they're back under more investigations for this is not football news. You know, this is what's so stupid and pathetic about this team. And it's looking more and more like Dan Snyder should just go ahead and sell this team because I kind of have a feeling he's going to get forced out eventually by the NFL, which actually wouldn't be a big deal because it sounds like to me Dan Snyder's been doing a lot of forcing himself upon women his entire life, at least from what all these investigations have been showing. And so basically Congress is now going to be investigating the Washington Commanders for not only all the sexual harassment and intimidation stuff, for people who worked for them, but they're also looking into some of the finances. So yeah, we'll see how that one turns out. And then also the NFL is now opening yet another investigation into sexual harassment charges against the Washington Commanders. Yeah, this isn't a new one. Or, I mean, this isn't a continuation of one. This is a brand new one. And this time around also, Washington doesn't get to control the narrative. There's an actual independent investigator going to be doing that, the investigating on that. And we actually get to read the report and see the results, unlike their last little bullshit investigation they had. So, like I said, I kind of think it's time that Dan Snyder maybe will want to go ahead and get out of the football owning business because, you know, it's funny, too, because that's all his legacy has been basically since he took over is just like drafting shitty players or wasting good draft picks or wasting good players' careers. And then also now all of this. And, you know, another thing that happened as well is I think it was when at the beginning of the initial investigation into the sexual harassment charges, a bunch of the other owners, because, you know, Dan Snyder's the majority owner, but a bunch of the other owners below him have been trying to push him out. So it doesn't sound like anybody likes Dan Snyder. Honestly, I can't believe his wife stays with him, to be quite honest, because that dude sounds like the biggest creepo piece of shit on the face of this fucking planet. So Washington Commanders starting the season off right with new investigations into what a shitty and poorly run organization they are. Keep it up, Washington. Keep it up. All right. And then we also got some new overtime rules. All you crybabies got your little way. Now it's more fair. It's more fair for you guys because now both teams get a possession. And they're only doing this in the playoffs. And I know you're still going to complain even if your team loses because that's how the majority of dumbass sports fans are. Is, oh, well, it's just not fair. It's not fair. Get over yourselves, but whatever. We'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm sure people are going to have complaints about it because they always have complaints about it. And that's why I've always been against changing this overtime rule back and forth and back and forth, because it feels like they change the overtime rule like every other fucking year. And it's like, can you just keep one and figure it out and get over the complaints, because nobody's ever going to be happy and they're always going to complain. That's called the United States of America, a bunch of whiny crybaby bitches. I actually have a song called The United States of the Aggrieved that touches on such a subject of how whiny Americans are. So check it out if you want. And then in more football news, shocker in my opinion, Bruce Arians, the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he just retired. Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator, is going to take over for him. Todd Bowles, if you don't know, he actually did coach the New York Jets a few years ago. Didn't go well because obviously it's the Jets and nothing goes well for them, at least since Super Bowl III, which was a long ass fucking time ago, if you didn't know. So we'll see how that goes. I was shocked when I heard the news, but he's getting up there in age. You know, coaching is not an easy job. He's had two bouts of cancer throughout his coaching career. He did tear his Achilles last year at the end of the season. So I'm sure lots of that is just wear and tear on him. There's rumors that apparently he and Tom Brady didn't get along. I'm not going to get into all that because I kind of think that shit's stupid. I mean, what do we know? And not everybody's going to get along with all their employees and employers. I don't understand that mentality. Okay. So I just thought it was weird that he retired just, randomly at the end of March. But hey, you know, you can't really blame him either. And like I said, we'll see what happens with Todd Bowles. I was kind of shocked that they didn't go with Byron Leftwich. I feel like Byron Leftwich is going to be the next coach who comes up. I had a feeling he may possibly get a job this year, especially with the way the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, that they're coaching, they had an opening this year with their coach. And I felt he would have been a perfect pick just because he did used to be the quarterback there. But it's also not a bad thing that he's going to be working with Tom Brady for another year just to perfect his craft at coaching. I do think at some point Byron Leftwich is going to be a head coach in this league. So I was kind of shocked, though, that they didn't go that route, because these days a lot of teams tend to go more towards the offensive coaches rather than defensive. But I think also at the same time, Todd Bowles, he has great respect with all the players. Bruce Arians had nothing but great things to say about him. He's basically saying one of the reasons why he stepped down is because he wants to give Todd Bowles a chance, at least with a good team. So that's kind of where they're at, and we'll see what happens. I mean, Tampa's got a good team this year. You know, Tom Brady came back, so as long as you got Brady, you're in the hunt. And just to note, you know, Bruce Arians, he had a great career, not just as a head coach, but he started out as a quarterback's coach, and he's coached some amazing Hall of Fame quarterbacks, just to name a few: Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady. Those are the prime quarterbacks of this era. So, you know, Bruce Arians, great coach, leaves behind a good legacy as well. And, good luck to him in whatever he does in the future. It looks like he's taking on some type of front office role. But, you know, sometimes that could just be literally a title and that's all it is. So who knows? But I thought that was very shocking news for this week. And then just to round out the NFL talk, Bobby Wagner was the big signing this week. He signed with the Los Angeles Rams, who now only got better. Kind of pissed me off because I was hoping the Cowboys would go after Bobby Wagner. But of course they didn't. They are just letting everybody go this offseason. I mean, I don't know what's up with them, but Bobby Wagner going to the Rams makes them an even better defense, makes them an even better team. So, yeah, have fun there, Rams, because you are a stacked fucking team. All right, and then moving on to some NBA quick hits from this week. You know, the Grizzlies started off the week by absolutely obliterating the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, the Warriors didn't have Steph Curry, but the Grizzlies didn't have Ja Morant. And the Grizzlies literally stomped them into the curb. And it was not a pretty game from start to finish. So, Grizzlies are continuing their domination, but the Golden State Warriors, they are heading in the opposite direction. Now, I'm not really shocked by that because as soon as Steph Curry was injured, I kind of had a feeling that was going to take a toll on the team as a whole. But, I mean, lucky for them, they did get a good lead while he was playing. And so it shouldn't really affect them with making the playoffs. Obviously, they're going to make the playoffs, but Man, the Golden State Warriors are just falling and further down. And the Grizzlies, they've only lost two games since Ja Morant was injured. So they're playing well without him. So they're going to look good come playoff time when he gets back. Then, speaking of injuries, actually, three players came back from injury this week. Paul George, he missed the last, like, 3 or 4 months. He came back and actually had a great game for the Clippers. And then Chris Paul, he came back this week as well. He's looking solid and ready to make a playoff run. And then today, Anthony Davis is supposed to come back for the Lakers. I don't think that's going to help because, newsflash, the Lakers suck. And their week has continued to suck even more. So, you know, they just get worse and worse. As a matter of fact, they are literally barely hanging on to the 10 spot. So while it's nice to see that Anthony Davis is supposed to be back tonight, I don't think it matters at this point. And now that LeBron is also injured, that really does not do us well at all. All right, and then so Giannis Antetokounmpo has had quite the week. He started the beginning of the week off by absolutely dominating the Philadelphia 76ers with 40 points, 14 rebounds, and the game-winning block on Joel Embiid. So that's the way he started the week. And then last night, he went off in Brooklyn, and he ended up having 44 points, 14 rebounds, hit the game or the game-tying three to send the game into overtime. By the way, they were down by 11 points at one point, so this was a big comeback. And then in overtime, he knocked down his two free throws, which, if you don't know, Giannis is not known for knocking down the free throws, but he did it when he needed to. And that gave them the one-point lead. And then the Nets drove down the court. Kevin Durant, of course, had the ball last, like he should have. Looked like actually it was a pretty good shot for him to get off. He just ended up missing it. And the Bucks went on to win a great overtime game, 120 to 119. So Giannis is having a week, and that is how you want to go into the playoffs. And speaking of playoffs, a couple more teams clinched playoff spots this week. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Dallas Mavericks are both headed to the playoffs. I'm not shocked by that, but hey, you know, we're getting close to playoff time. We're about a week and a half out, so more teams will be clinching as the week progresses on. And then moving on to something that I don't really watch. I've never been to one of these events, but I thought this was one of the coolest ideas I've ever seen, especially for Las Vegas. Now, I love me some Vegas. I don't drink or gamble, but I do smoke a lot of fucking weed. And real talk, Vegas is a great city. They have great restaurants. I love the weather because I like hot weather, so I'm down with their weather for the most part. And it's funny, too, because I grew up in Reno and I absolutely hate Reno. But I love me some Vegas. And so they just announced that next Thanksgiving, they are doing an F1 race on the Las Vegas Strip at night. Now, F1, I've never watched it. I've never been to a race. But I do know F1 is one of the biggest growing sports in the world right now. It's mostly big in Europe. It's always been big in Europe. It's like they are insane fanatics for F1 in Europe. And so their whole thing with F1 is that they've been trying to get it into America. And so about a few years ago, I live in Austin, so we actually opened a F1 racetrack called Circuit of the Americas. And so that was the first place in America here in Austin, Texas, where we got a racetrack for F1, and they come through all the time, regularly. As a matter of fact, the only time I've been to that racetrack is to go see my girl Britney Spears after one of the, usually after the F1 events, they have concerts, and Britney just happened to be the headliner of one of them, and of course I had to drop everything and go see Britney Spears, because if you don't know, I love Britney Spears. And my Britney-ness is killing me. And she was in my city at the same time. So there was no way I was going to miss Britney Spears. But yeah, right on the F1 track, they set up a stage and set up a crowd. And yeah, no, it was great. Got to see Britney there. So that's the only time I've ever been to the F1 track, is to see my girl Britney Spears. Also, that was her last show ever. So yeah, I was glad to see that. But anyways, enough about my girl Britney. See, you get me talking about Britney Spears, and that's how I sidetrack to a whole story about how much I love Britney Spears. But anyways, so we have an F1 track here. It's been a big deal. It's been such a huge success since it opened here. And so F1 has been thinking of ways to get back and to get more tracks into America. And they just now are opening one in Miami. I think this year is when the first year that they're going to be racing in Miami. So that's another spectacular city. I love me some Miami. Been to Miami a couple times. I know a lot of people think, oh, the crazy people are in Florida. Yeah, the crazy people are everywhere. And yeah, there's lots of crazy stories that come out of Florida, but I love Florida. The weather's spectacular and the beaches are amazing, especially in Miami. So they're going to have an F1 race there. So now they have two F1 tracks. And now next year, starting next year, they're going to be turning the Las Vegas Strip. And it's not just Las Vegas Boulevard, but it's like you have to go take a look at the map. It's kind of difficult to describe if you can't see it, the map. But it's going to be big, and it's going to be going around a bunch of hotels. And so I honestly, this is something I would love to attend. Like I said, I've never seen an F1 race. I'm not really like into it or anything, but this type of event sounds really fucking dope. You know, not only because it's going to be on the strip, but it's going to be at night too. Like it just reading it, it sounded really exciting. I think this is awesome for Las Vegas. And I just think this is a spectacular idea. One of the best ideas I've ever seen is this right here. So, yeah, good for F1. They're growing. And that Vegas idea is a spectacular idea. Hope it works out well for them. All right. Now, since baseball season starts next week, we are 1 week away from having us some baseball. Let's go ahead and get into my MLB playoff predictions for the season. So let me go ahead and first start off with who I think are going to be the MVP candidates. And usually MVP candidates, they don't have to be on the best team. Baseball is a little bit different than most sports. Is, you know, if you're in, like for the NFL, for example, you're usually going to pick the quarterback or whoever's the best player on the best team. It's not like in baseball, you could be on the worst team and you could still be eligible for MVP because your stats and just the way you carry the team, it matters. So some of these guys, I don't think their teams are going to do well. Starting with who I actually believe is going to be the front runner for the NL MVP, I believe is going to be Juan Soto with the Washington Nationals. And the reason why I think that is because, one, he's in a contract year. He's trying to, he's one of the hot up-and-comers. He's expected to sign one of the biggest deals in baseball history because he's that good. And whoever gets him is getting a great player for at least the next 10 years. And since he's come up to the major leagues with the Nationals, he has been a standout. I think it was 2020, the 2020 playoffs. he had this beautiful home run that just never stopped. I mean, from the second it hit the bat, it was gone and it went into the parking lot, and it's probably still flying in the air as we speak right now because that's how freaking hard the dude hit the ball. So I just think this is going to be that type of breakout year because the Nationals actually did offer him a contract extension. And it was very lucrative, but I have a feeling he may not want to stay with the Nationals. And I don't blame him for that because while they did win a World Series a few years ago, you could tell they're that rebuilding team. They've been getting rid of all their good players. You know, they traded away Max Scherzer and Trey Turner last year. So you look at them and you kind of go, are they going to be a good team? And I kind of have a feeling that might be what's going on here with Soto. So I kind of see him just going off this year. I think the Nationals are going to be a shitty team, but I think his individual stats and just the way he ends up playing the game, he's going to end up being the front runner for MVP. And also I have him on a couple of my fantasy baseball teams. And let me tell you, I've been getting trade offers out the fucking ass this week. And I have to keep telling them, I am not trading away Soto. So suck my butthole. That's my lead for the NL. But then a couple other guys in the NL who I think have a shot at possible MVP is Bryce Harper with the Phillies. Actually used to be with the Nationals. Bryce Harper, he had a great season last year. And his spring has been lights out. So if he's able to stay healthy, I think he's definitely going to be in the running. I also think the Phillies are going to be a pretty decent team. So I think he's going to be in the running for MVP. And then my last MVP in the NL, it would be Mookie Betts. He's just an all-around great player. He's great on defense. He's great on offense. He's great with stealing bases. There really isn't anything that Mookie Betts is bad at, so I just kind of feel like he's always going to be in the running for MVP because he matters that much to his team. So that's who I think are going to be the MVP front runners this year in the NL. Juan Soto, Bryce Harper, and Mookie Betts. And then moving over to the AL, my number one pick is Shohei Ohtani. I think he's going to have a great year this year, both pitching and hitting. I feel like, you know, last year he had a great season. Couple seasons before, you know, he had to get over injuries, but I think he was really working into his own last year. And I think he's only going to excel this year, especially with Mike Trout coming back from injury as well. So I think Shohei Ohtani is definitely the front runner for the AL MVP because I just think he's going to dominate both pitching and hitting. And I'm looking forward to it too, because it's really never in a million years did I think I was ever going to see a player like Babe Ruth did, where he played both pitcher and hitter. And really, Babe Ruth didn't do it that long. And really, if you think about it, Shohei Ohtani actually plays against a lot better athletes these days. Not that Babe Ruth was playing against bums, but if you really think about it, you know, back in those days when Babe Ruth played, you know, those guys would have regular jobs. And so they would be like, you know, like a drywall guy or a construction worker or a garbage man. And they'd still play baseball, but they wouldn't make enough money to do it. Whereas Shohei Ohtani's playing against dudes who get paid the big money and spend their whole life lifting weights and in batting practice and just practicing general baseball. So, Shohei Ohtani's actually playing against better competition now than Babe Ruth was. And he actually really is a pitcher and a hitter, and it's something he takes pride in. So I see him being the front runner for the AL MVP. Then I also have Mike Trout, his teammate, because, you know, Trout is just always that dude. If he's healthy, you can't count him out either. He's just a spectacular all-around player, and I definitely would see him in the running for MVP if he's able to stay healthy this season. And then rounding out my MVP predictions would be Vlad Guerrero Jr. with the Toronto Blue Jays. He's just been a spectacular player ever since he hit the scene. His father was a great baseball player, so he's got it in his blood. But he's just a fun player to watch. And I don't really see the Blue Jays being that great of a team, but I see him being a great baseball player and just having a great season, statistics wise. Cause I mean, he's just been getting better and better every year. Had a great year last year. I wouldn't be shocked if he was in the MVP running this year. So my AL MVPs are, front runners would be Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, and Vlad Guerrero Jr. All right, now moving over to my actual playoff predictions. In the NL, my number one seed is the Atlanta Braves. I have them winning the NL East and just being the overall best team this season. I don't think they lost a step this offseason. You know, you would think because they lost Freddie Freeman that it's a big deal. But honestly, Freddie Freeman's really at the end of his career. And he's very injury prone as well. And while I respect his game and I understand what he meant to the Atlanta Braves, I don't think they lost anything. As a matter of fact, I think they gained a whole lot of good players this year. You know, they got Kenley Jansen, the closer, and they already had one of the best bullpens in the league. I mean, shit, that's why they won the World Series, is because they had a solid bullpen from starting pitcher all the way down to their closer. So, you know, just adding him in the bullpen makes them a better team. Then you've got Olsen, who's taking over for Freddie Freeman, and he's like a younger version of Freddie Freeman. Now, obviously, he's not Freddie Freeman, but he's a good, solid player. And so they made a bunch of additions this offseason, and, you know, they're already coming off of World Series. And while it is very difficult to repeat being a World Series champion, I wouldn't be shocked if the Atlanta Braves do it this year. So I have them as my number one seed. Then the number two seed, my San Francisco Giants. I have them winning the NL West. And I just think they're gonna bounce off of what they did last year. You know, they were great in the regular season and then completely blew it come playoff time. But I think they're just gonna build off of that. They still have a really good pitching staff. They added Carlos Rodon, who I think makes the starting pitching even better. I do think they need to still make some improvements with the batting order. I wouldn't be shocked if they ended up making a trade at some point in the midway through the season. That's kind of something they tend to do. They tend to like let the team shape out and see what their weakness is, and then that's when they'll make a big trade. You know, they traded for Chris Bryant last year. Many years ago, they traded for Hunter Pence midseason. So that's something they are known for doing. But I do think the Giants are going to be one of the best teams this season. And not just because I'm a fan, but I really do think they've got a good, solid pitching staff. So I've got them at the 2 seed in the NL. Then at the 3 seed in the NL, I have the St. Louis Cardinals. I have them winning the Central Division. And I just think they're a great team. Their batting lineup is going to be something, man. Like, they're going to be real tough to stop. They did end up signing Albert Pujols. He's definitely at the end of his career. He's not what he used to be. But now that the NL has a DH, that's going to be where he goes. And I think that's going to prolong his, at least for the season. I don't know how much more Pujols has in him as a baseball player, but I don't see him having an issue being a DH this year, and it is nice to see him back in St. Louis, where he became who he was. You know, he was the MVP, and he won a World Series with them, and, you know, he used to be the best player in the league, and that was when he was with St. Louis. So it's nice to see him back with the Cardinals this year. And their pitching, it's crazy to see that Adam Wainwright is still their ace. I think they've got a solid pitching staff, but I think they're really going to kill it with their batting order this year. Then at the number 4 seed, I have the Dodgers. They're going to be a good team. You can't count the Dodgers out, unfortunately. Every freaking year, they're those stupid-ass Dodgers pissing me off, but I expect them to have another great year, make a good run, battle back and forth with the Giants for the division. I just think their weakness is going to be the pitching, starting pitching and bullpen. They lost some dudes this offseason, and although I did see, actually right before I started the show, I think I saw I don't know who they traded for, but they did trade for a closer. I can't recall who it was, so I'll probably talk about it on Monday's show. But they did sign somebody to replace, or trade for somebody to replace Kenley Jansen, but I still think their starting pitching is going to be an issue. I think their batting lineup is going to be great, one of the best in the league. There probably is going to be no problems on offense for them. But I have a feeling when it comes to pitching, that's going to be an issue, because Buehler really is their only solid starting pitcher at this point. You know, Urias, he's a good pitcher. He's got some great heat, but he's not a consistent pitcher. And so we'll see what happens there. And, you know, Kershaw, he's older. He's been getting injured the last few seasons, so who knows what to expect from him. So I've got the Dodgers at the four spot. Then in the number five seed, I've got the Philadelphia Phillies. Like I said, I've got Bryce Harper as one of my MVP candidates, and I think he's going to be the main reason why they're so good this year. They do have a solid starting pitching staff, and they do have a great batting lineup beyond Bryce Harper. But that's what I think is going to be their bread and butter. I just think Bryce Harper is going to have a great year and carry this team into the playoffs. And then rounding out, because now we have six teams who make the playoffs on each side in the NL and AL. So the number six seed I have in the NL is the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, they're a very solid team. I mean, pitching staff, really solid. Their batting lineup, they're not going to kill you with the home run, but they know how to play small ball. They know how to get the steals. They know how to utilize all their batters to whatever their need is, whether it be a bunt, whether it be a nice solid single just to get a guy moved over into scoring position. That's just kind of the type of baseball they play. They dominate with their pitching and then just play small ball with their batting, and they're able to get some good wins. So I think the Milwaukee Brewers will be the number six seed over in the NL. And then moving over to the AL, my number one seed is going to be a big surprise to most people, but I have the Los Angeles Angels, not only winning the AL West, but I have them as my number one overall seed. I think they've been a team that you could tell that they're trying to build and build and build, and they've been adding some really good players. And I just think it's finally their time. Like I said, it's going to be nice to see Ohtani and Trout healthy at the same time. Hopefully they're able to keep that throughout the entire season. But I think the Angels are going to be one of the most dominant teams this year. So, yeah, I've got them as the number one overall seed in the AL. Then the number two seed in the AL, I have the Minnesota Twins. I have them winning the AL Central Division. They're just, for me, I feel like this is another surprise team who's been building over the last couple of seasons, but they've just fallen short. And so that's what I think about the Twins. They've got a good pitching staff. And I think the addition of Carlos Correa really makes a huge difference, because you got that veteran presence, a dude who's won World Series. He's been in the playoffs basically every season of his career. So I think that kind of mentality is going to be very helpful going over to Minnesota, and I've got the Twins as the number two seed. Then the number three seed in the AL, I have the Tampa Bay Rays. I have them winning the AL East. I just think they're just an overall really good team. They've been a silent but deadly team, God, for many years now. You just, out of nowhere, you're like, damn, where did the Rays come from? But, you know, they have a good farm system. They're just known for bringing up really good pitchers, really good hitters. So, yeah, I just think the Rays are an overall good team. And I've got them at the number three seed. Then the number four seed in the AL, I have the Chicago White Sox. I think they're a very good team, especially their batting lineup. They have some heat in their batting lineup. Their starting pitching, not bad at all, but I think that will be their weakness, is their pitching. They're probably going to get blown up a few times this year. And they're in a pretty tough division, because I think while I don't have the Guardians making the playoffs, I still think they're going to be a team that messes with their division rivals. And so I think the White Sox will just miss out on winning their division, but I think they'll be the number four seed. Then I've got the Houston Astros as the number five seed in the AL. You know, you can't really count the Astros out until they're not playing well anymore. I mean, they're a good team. Even though they cheat, they're still a good team, even beyond the cheating. You know, they get Justin Verlander back this year, so we'll see if he's able to at least have a pretty solid season. You know, he missed like the last year and a half. So it's been a minute since he's played some baseball. So I don't know how much more he has in the tank. But hey, man, I'm going to stick with the Astros. I don't have them winning their division, but I still think they're going to be a solid, competitive team, even though they lost some good players this offseason. And then rounding out the AL in the number six position, I have the Boston Red Sox. They're also a very solid team. They've got a good batting lineup. They've got a solid starting pitching. I just think they're going to just miss out to the Rays, just because I think the Rays have a little bit more firepower when it comes to starting pitching. and their batting lineup, but I still think the Red Sox are going to be a good competitive team this year. So that would put my wild card round for the NL would be Brewers versus Cardinals and Phillies versus Dodgers. And in both of those matchups, the Brewers versus Cardinals, I would take the Cardinals in that matchup. And then Phillies versus Dodgers, I would take the Dodgers in that matchup. And then moving over to the AL wild card would be Red Sox versus the Rays and Astros versus the White Sox. And the Red Sox versus the Rays, I would have the Rays moving on. And Astros versus White Sox, I would have White Sox moving on. So the division series would be, NL division series would be Dodgers versus Giants and Cardinals versus Braves. In those matchups, I would have the Giants over the Dodgers and the Braves over the Cardinals. Then in the ALDS, I have the White Sox versus the Angels and the Rays versus the Twins. I have the Angels over the White Sox and the Rays over the Twins. And so that would make my NL championship series would be Giants versus Braves. And I would have actually my Giants eking out a solid win in this series, just because it is difficult for any champion to repeat, even though I would not be shocked if the Braves ended up repeating this year. But yeah, I had to go with my Giants. You know, they're looking pretty solid this year, so I'm going to believe in them, unlike last year, and I didn't believe in them, and look what happened. And then so my ALCS would be Angels versus Rays, and I have the Angels winning that. So my World Series matchup would be the Giants versus the Angels, which is a rematch from one of the worst moments as a Giants fan. Back in 2002, we had this lead against the Angels. We were going to win the World Series, and then we switched pitchers. And the Angels ended up breaking our hearts. And they ended up winning that game. And then they would ultimately go on to win the World Series. One of the most heartbreaking World Series if you're a Giants fan of all time. Now, luckily, they did make up for it in 2010, 2012, and 2014 by winning the World Series. So we have seen them win three. But man, that 2002 World Series was awful. But anyways, I've got that rematch, and I got the Giants getting their revenge. So yeah, my World Series champ for this year, I have my San Francisco Giants as the World Series champ. So that's how I think this baseball season is going to shape out. Now, obviously, we've got a lot of time to see what happens. But I'm excited about this baseball season, not just because of the Giants, but I mean, you know, I've got, like I've said, I've got the Angels at the number one spot in the AL, and I'm really excited to see what Shohei Ohtani does this year. I'm happy to see that he and Trout are going to be healthy at the same time. It's going to be intriguing to see what the Braves are able to do, because I really think they have a great chance at repeating this year. So we'll see. And we haven't had a repeat champion since like what, the early 2000s, the Yankees were the last, they won three in a row in, the early 2000s, like literally 20 years ago. It's been since we've had a repeat champion. And even before then, like it's a long time in between, because, you know, baseball is a different sport. I mean, the season is so long, injuries happen. Now we have all these different rule changes and stuff. So it's just always difficult to repeat. I mean, hell, the Dodgers have been one of the best teams in the league for the last, like, decade. You know, they've had Kershaw, who's been, like, the best pitcher. Other than the last couple of seasons, Kershaw's been, like, the best pitcher in the league since he started. So they've always been a good team, but they don't always win the World Series. They won a couple seasons ago, but, I mean, even for a team like that, it's difficult to come back. Same with the Astros. They're always competitive, very good team, great at cheating, but they don't win the World Series every year. So it is going to be difficult for the Braves to repeat, but I think the Braves have such a great team. They've already won a championship now, so they've got that mojo, and they know how it's done. So I wouldn't be shocked to see the Braves do it, but I've got my San Francisco Giants winning the World Series. So we'll see how that shapes out, but we are only 1 week away from baseball season. We're about a week and a half away from NBA playoffs, and we've got the Final Four this weekend. So we've got some great sports going on this weekend, and you know, looking forward to all the matchups. And yeah, enjoy the Final Four, everybody. Peace out, fools.